In the beginning of the summer of 2005, Canadian Kyle MacDonald went online and publicized the following offer. Quote, "This might not surprise you, but below is a picture of a paperclip. It is red. This red paperclip is currently sitting on my desk next to my computer. I want to trade this paperclip with you for something bigger or better. Maybe a pen, maybe a spoon, or perhaps a boot." That's the quote from the Canadian website, the website of the Canadian Kyle MacDonald. On July 14th, 2005, two women from Vancouver, one was named Ronnie and one was named Karina, traded a fish-shaped pen for his red paperclip. Now, why am I telling you this fascinating story? You're sitting on the edge of your seat. From a red paperclip to a fish-shaped pen. So I'm going to ask you to wait, and we're going to finish the story in a little bit. There are many themes in this week's Parsha that are appropriate for us to hear on this first week of the new Zman, on Leil Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And I decided to speak about the following idea, to speak about Noach starting over as well. We started a long time ago, many weeks ago, but here we are, new Zman, starting over again. So let's learn from Noach and the way Noach started over again. The Torah tells us on the top of your source sheets, Vayachel Noach. Noach comes out of the Teva. Noach builds a Mizbeach. Hashem makes a promise to Noach. And then, Vayachel Noach, Ish Ha'adama, Vayita Karem, Vayesht Min Hayayin, Vayishkar, Vayitgal Betoch Aholo. Noach was Vayachal. And if you look at the second Rashi, Asa Atzmo Chulin, I'll come back to that in a second. It's not Vihitchil, but he did Chulin. Chulin is the opposite of Kedusha. He was Isha Adama, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank from the wine, got drunk, and the rest, as they say, is history. The Mefarshim look at this title of Isha Adama in a variety of ways. So Rashi's Peirush, the first Rashi on the sheet, is inconclusive, it seems, as to whether the word Isha Adama is a positive or negative thing. Rashi said, title, Isha Adama, Rashi says, Adonai Adama, Kamo Ish Na'ami. He was like the master of land. He conquered land. It's hard to tell whether that's a good appellation or a bad appellation, but from the second Rashi, on my source sheet, which is really the Rashi right before that, it's a little bit more clear how Rashi feels about Isha Adama. Rashi says, Vayachel, we said, Isha Adama, we said, Vayachel, Asa Atzmo Chulin, Shehayalo La'asok Tchila Binitiya Acheret. We're going to come back to that Rashi in a little bit. Rashi should have. Why did he start with grapes? Why did he start with wine? That's not a food that keeps you alive. I don't know if I could ask him for potatoes or rice, but he could have made some vegetables, he could have made fruit. But wine of all things, why was that the first thing? The Ibn Ezra is more conclusive in a very positive way. Look at the next Ibn Ezra, the next source. Isha Adama, Yodeya Avodata Adama, Vehi Chochma Gedolah. When we call Noah Isha Adama, when he steps out of the Teva, that's a compliment. That's incredible. He is a Chachma Gedola. He's the world's first farmer, the world's first great farmer, I should say. Use tools, Chachma, beautiful. The Ramban, I don't think I'm going to read the whole Ramban. The Ramban disagrees with both Rashi and Ibn Ezra. The Ramban disagrees. And he says that Ish HaAdama defined who he was. Take a look at the second line in the Ramban. Aval Ish HaAdama kamo anshei ha'ir ba'avur heyoto dar b'chol ha'adama lo bana'ir u'medina sheityaches aleha. He wasn't the New Yorker and he wasn't the Chicagoan. He didn't build cities. He was the Ish HaAdama. He was connected to the land. Not like Rashi said, working the land, but connected to the land. And take a look, and that's what he says here, V'chein Ish Sadeh, that's about Esav. Ha'omed sham kol ayom tamid, uba mishna Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Tzereida, v'Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, o shenatan libo la'avod et ha'adama, lizroa v'lintoa ba'avur mitzao ha'aretz shmama. Ish HaAdama, says the Ramban, is a title. It's a title that reflected Noach's focus. It's a title that reflected the connection of Noach to the land. But we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is the nature of the critique against Noach? First of all, was it really so bad that Noach worked the land as soon as he came off the teva? Is that really so bad? First of all, what weren't? Look at the next pasuk. I'm going to read the next few pasukim. I'm going to go through really quickly. Isn't it true that Adam and Chava were told to work the land? Vayevarechotam Elokim, vayomer lehem Elokim, pru uruvu milu et haaretz, v'chiv shuha urdu bidgat hayam uvov hashamayim v'chol chaya rameset al haaretz. Adam was told to build the world. And if you've ever had a chance to read Lonely Man of Faith, that's what our part of our job ba'olam hazeh. So was it so terrible that he worked the land? Rashi says he shouldn't have picked grapes. But Ibn Ezra didn't talk about grapes. The Ramban didn't talk about grapes. Talk about working the land. Ish HaAdama. What's so bad about that? And as a matter of fact, Noach himself, a few psukim earlier, take a look at the next source, Vayavarech Elokim, et Noach vet banav vayomer lehem, pru uruvu umilu et haaretz. What kind of person would Noach be? How much would we have critiqued him if he came out of the teva and did nothing? Of course he's supposed to build the land. Of course he's supposed to work the land. In addition to that, if you take a look at the next source, there's a very important Mishnah and a very important Gemara that's quoted in a number of ways. I think I'm going to later in the year quote it in a different context. But the Gemara, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin quotes the people who are pasul le'edut, people who are not kosher edim. And the Mishnah lists a few examples. Ve'elu heina psulin. And by the way, I mentioned it by Soloveitchik once, I'll mention them again. If you ever read Ala Tshuva, I think in the second, are you guys learning that now? I think it's the second ma'amar, I'm not positive. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about this. A beautiful, tying this into tshuva. So gorgeous. Ve'elu ein apsulin, ha'mesachek b'kubiyah, someone who plays with dice. Ve'amal v'beribit, someone who lends with interest. U'mafriche yonim, someone who races birds. Gambler. Excuse me, v'socharei shvi'it, next year is going to be Shemitah. People who buy and sell Shemitah produce. All these people are psulin le'edut. And why are mesachek b'kubiyah and malveh b'ribit, why are they pasul le'edut? The Mishnah tells us, the Gemara tells us, dat, lefi she'ein asukin b'yishuvo shel olam. Our job is to be osek b'yishuvo shel olam. We're criticizing Noach for being Ish HaAdama. His focus was the land. That's beautiful. That's our job. Our job is to be Osek Yeshua Shalom. When you're a gambler, you're not building anything. You're not contributing anything. There's no houses built. There's no trains built. There's no diseases cured. There's no people taught. It's just money back and forth, back and forth. That's Mesachek Vakubia. That's Enos. Eno asukim b'yishuvo shel olam. That's not the way we're supposed to operate. Noach did that, and you're criticizing him. The Rambam, in quoting this halacha, waxes a little philosophical, which is not his nature. The Rambam, the next source, in Hilchot Gezela ve'Aveda Perek Vav, she'ein ra'ui la'adam, she'ya'asot kol yamav, Ela b'divrei chochma uv'yishuvo shel olam. That's what Noach did, and you're blaming him. You're calling him an Isha Adama. It seems like a critique, and it is a critique. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I'm going back now to the next source, but it's really the same Gemara from before. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish quotes the following pasuk, Oved admato yisbalachem umir deif reikim chasalev. A person who works his land will be satisfied by bread. Umiradef rekim, but someone who chases after nothingness, chasar lev, has no heart. And what does the Gemara tell us that? Im osei adam atzmo keoved la'adama, keeved la'adama, isbalechem, im lav lo isbalechem. Our job is to work the land. Our job, and Rav Kook talks about this many times, there's a certain kedusha to getting your hands dirty and creating. That's what Noach did. I could talk about this a long time. One could even suggest that one of the chaburas last year, about half a year, was spent on these sources in one way or another. And the last thing on this topic, Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, Shmaya Omer, Ehov et HaMelacha. Love work. Embrace work. Adam Le'amal Yulad. We're created to work. It's time to create. It's time to do. It's time to build things. So Noach was doing all these. Noach learned Sanhedrin and learned Pirkei Avot and learned Psukim and Mishlei. What's the problem? If I could go further, we already criticized grapes. Why did he do grapes? Well, that's Rashi. Rav Hirsch actually calls grapes, quote, Earth's noblest growth. Earth's noblest growth. What other fruit? Every other fruit. If I turn orange into orange juice, some people say orange. If some people take orange juice, take orange and turn it into orange juice, I make a lesser bracha on the orange juice. Pineapple to pineapple juice. But grapes to grape juice? Porei pri agafen. One of the shitot of why we call Rashbam. The Rashbam tells us that the reason why we call the Kiddush on Shabbat morning, Kiddusha Rabba, is because the only thing we say, or I should say, the only thing we have to say, is Borei Pri Hagafen. Some of you come from families where they say a lot more, some people say a little more, but the Gemara tells us Borei Pri Hagafen. And then Rashbam says, that's why it's called Kiddusha Rabba, because making a bracha, grapes to grapes, it's Earth's noblest growth. So why not start with wine? Beautiful, says Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch, you should read Rav Hirsch inside. He goes in a different direction. He disagrees with everybody else. He looks at Noach's actions very positively. This is not part of this shir, but take a look at Rav Hirsch about why did he get uncovered in his tent and his tent with a hay at the end. Which tent did he go into? The women's tent. Rav Hirsch says he didn't get drunk in public. He knew he got drunk and it was a mistake. So he tried to do it privately in the place where he was least likely going to be found. That's Rav Hirsch. But anyway, so it would seem we don't understand what the problem is. What's the problem? Why is it so bad to be called Isha Adama? The following I'd like to share with you has been said by a couple people, and I want to take it in a different direction, both from the 20th century. One is Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. He should live and be well. Is the Rosh Yeshiva of Gush, and he says something on this along the following lines, and also Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, who was the Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva. He died in the 1930s. So these two people said the following idea a little bit in different ways. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, for example, sees the problem of Noach in the Medrash below. It's the third to last Medrash, third to last source, Breishit Rabba Parsha Lamed Vav. Isha Adama, says the Medrash. Why was he called Isha Adama? A burgar, I don't know how to pronounce that. Burgar, which is a worker. L'shem burgarut. The Medrash in three words gives us insight into Noach's problem. Was there a problem with him working the land? No. Was there a problem with him building the world? No. There would be a problem if he didn't. There would be a problem if we don't. But burgar l'shem burgarut. he was a farmer for the sake of being a farmer. What does that mean? Continue in the Medrash. Says the Medrash something that I could never say. Chaviv Moshe Minoach. Moshe. And we're going to compare and contrast Moshe and Noach. I know you're used to comparing Noach and Avraham. This is Noach and Moshe. Chaviv Moshe Minoach. Noach. Mishenikra Ish Tzadik. Nikra Ish Adama. When Noach started out, the first thing I ever hear, I really hear the first about Noach at the end of last week's Parsha, but in this week's Parsha, the first I ever hear about Noach. Noach Matzachin Bene Hashem. Then, Eile Toldot Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik. Ish, there's that Ish again. He was defined as an Ish Tzadik. And yet, as time went on, his title changed. And he was called Ish Adama. Aval Moshe, Mishenikra Ish Mitzri. Who called him Ish Mitzri? Who called Moshe Ish Mitzri? Anyone remember? Yes, Yafeh, if I heard properly. The daughters of Yitro. Ish Mitzri, that's Ish Mitzri. And Mishenikra Ish Mitzri. But later, as he went, there's that Ish again. And yet, later in life, as he grew, unlike Noach, his graph was going up as opposed to Noach's, who was going down. Moshe was called eventually Ish HaElokim. How is it possible for Noach to go from Ish Tzadik to Ish Adama? And how is it possible for Moshe to go from Ish Mitzri to Ish HaElokim? When your physical work, when your involvement in this world, when your engagement in the physical world becomes your identification, when it becomes your reason for living, when it becomes your reason for being, when you turn into an Ish Adama Burgar L'Shem Burgarut, when that's who you become, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away from you becoming that person, Ish Adama. When his whole focus, when his priorities, that's what Rashi again, when his priorities, there's many things that we need to do in this world, but when your priorities are misplaced, and when your focus becomes using the physical world not as a goal, I'm sorry, not as a means, not as a kli, but when you begin using the world as an end to itself, you become Ish Adama, and the rest is history. As time went on for Noach, sure he started properly, and sure we're supposed to build a world. But we're supposed to build a world of Taken Olam, not the Taken Olam, period. And so many people who use that buzzword, Tikkun Olam, Tikkun Olam, Tikkun Olam. But it's Letaken Olam, B'Malchut Shakai. That's why we're being Letaken Olam. Bring Mitzaken Olam to bring God to the world, to bring people's appreciation of God to the world. That's what our job is now, and our job is to take this world, jump on it, jump off of it, use it for greatness, and raise it itself, elevate it itself. There's so many examples of this. However, Moshe was the opposite. Moshe is the prototype of literally the opposite. He started out as an Ish Mitzri. Where was he raised? In a nice, frum, Jewish home, Chol of Yisrael, Zmiros on Shabbos. Where was he raised? He was raised in the middle of Tuma, Znut, Ohev Kesef. Everything is the richest of the rich, the most disgusting of the disgusting, the cruel of the cruel. Moshe started there. And yet, he turned those things around. He turned those things positively. He turned them on their head and used them for greatness. Take a look at this Ibn Ezra, put it in your pocket, and take it out in a few weeks when you learn Parshat Shmot. The Ibn Ezra tells us, I'm only going to read the end of the first line. Or maybe I'll start from the beginning. says the Ibn Ezra in Shmot Perek Bet, Umachshavot Hashem Amku, there are the thoughts of God are deep. Umi yuchal la'amod b'sodo, and who can understand, appreciate, summarize the greatness, the depths of God's wisdom? V'lu levad nitkenu alilot. Ulai, this is what I want to focus on. Sivev or savav Hashem ze sheyigdal Moshe bebeit hamalchut. You know what? This wasn't a coincidence. This wasn't an accident. Why Moshe grew up in Paro's house? Lihiot nafsho al madrega ha'elyona b'derech halimud v'harigilut. You want to lead Bnei Yisrael, you can't get a slave to do it. You can't get a slave with slave mentality to do it. You get a leader who was raised in leadership. V'lo tiyesh shpeila u'regila lihiot b'veit avadim. I couldn't say it if Ibn Ezra didn't say it. We need Moshe. We need Moshe to come out. And he does eventually step out. He steps out. Perek Bet already. He steps out of the Armon Shel Paro and he sees Jews fighting. And I'm sorry, first he sees a Mitzri. He sees a Mitzri hitting a Jew. And he says, I'm ready. I can be a leader. And if I do something great, they're going to follow. And he kills the Mitzri. And then the next day, he sees two Jews fighting. And you know what? He's expecting. This is not me talking. This is Rav Meidan Zechalila. He should live and be well. And he's now the Rosh Hashiva of Grush. I heard this from him directly. He goes the next day. And you know what Moshe Rabbeinu is expecting? Moshe Rabbeinu is expecting a parade. We're starting now a revolution. I started it. I killed the Mitzri. Let's go. Let's charge the palace gates. And instead, an Eved is fighting an Eved, and they have an Eved mentality. And he says, "Achein noda hadavar," because all he gets is "Halargeni atalomer." Oh, you want me to? You're going to kill me like I killed the Mitzri? I'm going to go tell Paro. And indeed, he did. And indeed, Moshe's life by Atzilena Michera Paro, he was put in danger. Says the Medrash Rashi quotes. Moshe was expecting to, let's go, I'm a leader! And he was kicked, and he was kicked out. He kicked out of Mitzrayim, he couldn't do it. But this is the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up opposite from Noach. Noach was fine, he had everything he needed. Didn't work, it went down. Each tzaddik went down to each adama. But Moshe took the tumah, the znut of Mitzrayim. That's why he was raised there, according to Ibn Ezra, to jump, to stand on top of it, to propel himself like a springboard off of that into even greater things. That is our job. Our job is not Noach's job. Our job is to take everything we're given in this world and to use it in the service of Hashem. And not to become an Isha Adama. I want to be an Isha Elohim who happens to work the land. I'll work the land, I have to. I can get my hands dirty. But I don't become an Isha Adama. I become an Isha Elohim. That's exactly what Moshe became. Our job is to take this world and to jump off of this world and to serve God. I have an outstanding, there's many examples. But listen to this example, it's going to knock you off your chair. The next Gemara, the last Gemara on the page, the Gemara in Psachim tells us, I'm going on a 60-second tangent, but bear with me, it's worth it. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Psachim Daf Kuf Dalid how to make brachot. And the Gemara says, Kol ha-brachot kulan poteach bibaruch v'chotein bahen bibaruch. Every bracha starts with Baruch Ata, ends with Baruch Ata. Think of benching. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Baruch Ata Hashem Hazan Et Hakol. Every bracha begins with the bracha Baruch and ends with the bracha Chutz mi birchot mitzvah u birchat haperot. I don't say Borei Priya. I say Borei Priya Eitz. I don't have a bracha before and after. Or bracha hasmucha lachaverta, etc. Bracha usmucha lachaverta. If I'm near another bracha, I don't have to start with Baruch. Everyone with me so far? You know these halachot from Hilchot Brachot, yeah? Yeah. Tosfot on the page asks the following question. The Tosfot, it's the Tosfot on the page, it's Tosfot Dibra Matchil Kol HaBrachot. On the page, Psachim Kuvdalam Abet. Gevaldik. Tosfot asks many, many questions of Brachot that don't seem to fit this mold. One of the questions he asks is Elokai Nishama that we say in the morning. He asks many questions, they ask many questions, this is one of the questions. Elokai Neshama, Tosfot answers their own answer. Tosfot says, why don't you start Elokai Neshama with a bracha? Because, here's the word, because they are only Shevach Utfila Be'alma. Okay, Shevach Utfila Be'alma. That's Tosfot's answer. However, the Me'iri and the Tosfot Harash say the following. It's not quoted here in Psachim Kuvdalid, it's quoted in Brachot Daf Samach. Listen to this, ladies. It knocks you off your chair. So again, the Gemara told us a rule that every bracha starts with Baruch and ends with Baruch, unless it's a bracha smucha lachaverta. Tosfot asks many questions, including Elokai Neshama. Why not Elokai Neshama? Do you know the answer that Tosfot Arash gives and the Meiri gives? Because it is a bracha smucha lachaverta. Elokai Neshama is smucha lachaverta. What bracha is it next to? The answer is Hamapil. 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 It's not me talking. This is the Tosfot Arash. This is the Me'iri. If I go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night and I say Hamapil, I wake up at 6 in the morning, I daven and I say Elokai Neshama, oh, I see, it's a bracha smucha lachaverta. Here I said Hamapil the night before, and I woke up and I said, what? You went to sleep. That's not a hefsek of 6 hours. How many hours did I just sleep? I don't remember what I just said. That's not a hefsek? The answer is that when I use sleep in the service of Hashem, it's not a hefsek. When I use sleep in the service of Hashem, when I go to sleep for the right reason, food for the right reason, work for the right reason, sleep for the right reason, and in the right way, service of Hashem. There's no hefsek. There's a very, very similar idea about Birchot HaTorah. How come I made Birchot HaTorah this morning at 6:30 in the morning? I'm still learning Torah and I don't need to say another bracha. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very similar answer that I'm always involved. When I'm working for Torah, for Hashem, not a hefsek. When I'm sleeping for Torah, why am I going to sleep tonight? I'm going to sleep tonight so I can wake up. It's Rosh Chodesh, I can daven with Kavana. Sleep is not a hefsek. Can you imagine? It's mind-boggling. If a Rishon didn't say it, I would poo-poo it. It's amazing. Anyway, so that is our job. Our job, and that's where Noah went wrong, and that's where Moshe went right. Taking God's world and using it it's called leverage in the business world on Wall Street. It's called leverage. I take a little bit of money and I leverage it. Who said, give me a lever long enough? Who said that? Give me a lever long enough, a fulcrum, whatever, and I can lift the world? Someone said that. It wasn't me. You don't know what I'm talking about at all? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I should have remembered what it is. That's leverage. Leverage. It's taking something small and turning it into something huge. That's our job. And as we start the new Zman, we have to think about how and if we are elevated and where our priorities are and where our focuses are. And there's many people sitting and learning Torah in Israel, and their bodies are sitting right in Israel, right in Yerushalayim, but their minds are 6,000 miles away on the TV show that they left and on the sports that they left. What are we thinking about? And that's a different time for a different discussion about whether these are important, unimportant. But what are our priorities? Is that my whole life, my whole goal, my whole dream? Or is my dream, am I dreaming bigger? Am I dreaming with my eyes open, using what God gives me, and every single one of us has talents and strengths and blessings? Are we using those talents and strengths and leveraging them for something great? That is a focus on the coming Zman. And that brings us back to Kyle McDonald from Canada and his red paper clip. How many people have heard about this red paper clip before? Oh, not many. Okay. Kyle McDonald on July 14th, 2005, traded a he got a fish-shaped pen for his red paperclip. On the same day, he traded the fish-shaped pen for a hand-sculpted doorknob. On July 25th, 2005, he traded the hand-sculpted doorknob for a Coleman camp stove with fuel. On September 24th, 2005, he traded the camp stove for a Honda generator. On November 16th, 2005, he traded the generator for a keg of beer and a neon Budweiser sign. On December 8th, 2005, he traded the beer and the sign to a comedian from Quebec for two Ski-Doo snowmobiles. Within a week, he traded the snowmobiles for a two-person trip to British Columbia. On or about July 7th, 2006, Kyle traded the trip to British Columbia for a small truck. On February 22nd, he traded the cube, the van, for a recording contract with a rock group called Metalworks in Toronto. On April 11, 2006, he traded the recording contract with a group called Metalworks in Toronto for a year's rent in an apartment in Phoenix, Arizona. 2 weeks later, he traded the 1 year's rent in Phoenix for one afternoon private time with a rock star named Alice Cooper. On May 26, 2006, he traded the one afternoon with a rock star named Alice Cooper for a Kiss motorized snow globe. You know what a snow globe is? Here's a note. This seemed like a bad idea, but he found out that director Corbin Burnson collected snow globes. He had about 6,500 of them, but did not have this snow globe. So on June 2nd, 2006, he traded the Kiss motorized snow globe to Corbin Burnson for a role in a film called Donna on Demand. I missed that one. Lastly, on July 5th, 2006, a little less than a year after he offered his red paperclip for a trade, on July 5th, 2006, Kyle MacDonald traded the movie role in a movie called Donna on Demand for a two-story farmhouse in Kipling, Saskatchewan, from a red paperclip to his home in Kipling. That is called taking this world and leveraging it for something greater. And my question to you, are you an Ish Tzaddik or an Ish Ha'adama? Are you an Ish Mitzri or an Ish Elohim? Or put another way, what are you going to do with your red paperclip? Have a good night, everybody.